the end of the world, your world will end. Your profession will end. Your culture will end. Your influences and the people who influence you will end. And I think sometimes we gloss over what a drastic change is going to be made. How many believe we're in the last days? You know, you can talk to a ranked sinner now and they'll say, I don't know what's happening, but something's going on. Because the world has gone crazy. Israel is a trembling cup. And we're right. We don't know the day or the hour, but we are in the season that God is about to wrap up the affairs of man. So I'm going to ask you this morning, if you would please turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to start with verse 3 and then we'll jump down to verse 37, but I want to kind of just lead into it. The 24th chapter of Matthew has often been called the mini book of Revelation. Because in this chapter, Jesus gives a long litany of things that will occur and the sequence in which they will occur at the end of days. Now, when we speak of the end of days, we are not talking about the rapture of the church. We are talking about when Jesus comes back in his second advent. Jude said, for the purpose of executing judgment, not to speak judgment, not to make judgment, but to execute judgment. And so we need to be aware of what the future holds. You know, it amazes me that people, you know, will go to soothsayers and palm readers. And I want to know what's coming. I want to know what's coming. And God has given us in great detail what is coming. And I find that many times we just don't take the time to get into the word to realize and to learn all the details of the future that he's given us. So in the book of Matthew chapter 24, at the end of chapter 23, Jesus has said, he told the disciples, look at these stones that make up the temple. And the temple was a marvelous rebuilt effort by Herod. And Jesus said, there will not be one stone left upon another. It'll all come down. And it was, I believe, 47 years after his crucifixion that Titus came in and raised the temple and not one stone left upon another. They brought it to the ground. But when he said this, it began to intrigue the disciples because that's cataclysmic for Israel to not have a temple. And so they asked the question in verse 3. They asked three questions. I'll deal with the second two. Verse 3, Matthew 24, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? That's the first question. And what shall be the sign of their coming? That's number two. And the third question, and of the end of the world. What are the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you that you've given us the engrafted word that's able to save the soul. We would ask you right now that you would anoint my lips, anoint my efforts this morning to share that you told the disciple those many years ago, and that you would anoint the ears and the hearts of your people to receive this engrafted word. And Lord, that this might bring a trembling upon us, that this might wake us up from our slumber spirit, that it might move us away from our religious fanaticism and bring us deep into a relationship with the living God. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Lord, as we take an offering across the day here in the worship room, across the internet, we ask you that you would bless those that support this ministry and help us to take the word of God to the world. Those across the online experience, bless their lives in such a way that they know that God's hand is upon them. We pray it all in Jesus' name, and we thank you. Amen and amen. So the two questions that I want to deal with today is the disciples asking, what shall be the sign of thy coming, and what will be the end of the world? They're inquiring, how is it going to happen? How is it going to come down? And Jesus, through chapter 24, he gives a long explanation of things that will occur and even the sequence in which they will occur. But in verse 37, he gives a parallel that I think we can understand much from. He says in verse 37, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, if he had said nothing else at all, that's enough to tell us a lot. The first thing you have to understand is the vast majority of the human race perished. As a matter of fact, it was only Noah and those in Noah's family who prepared themselves, who realized judgment was coming and they prepared themselves. They are the only ones that survived. Every person died. Every baby died. Every cow, every wolf, every animal died. Every house was destroyed. Every society, communication, community was no more. God in his wrath, he strips humanity off of the face of the planet. And Jesus says that the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. It will be so cataclysmic. I tried to calculate one time and going through the book of Revelation, the numbers of people that the scripture says will perish, as I added the numbers up, and it was, from the best that I could calculate, 3/4 of the human race, which is multiplied billions of people, will be stripped off the planet out into eternity without Christ. And so Jesus begins by telling them that it's going to be just like in the days of Noah. If you were, and if you do, ever just sit down and try to imagine in your mind what it was like that day that Noah closed the door on the ark and the rains began to descend. And the fear that would have settled upon the people as they realized what this wacko preacher has been preaching for 120 years. It's now happening. We thought he was crazy, but it's now happening, and he won't open the door. And we've made no preparation for ourselves. We have no relationship with God. We don't even know who to call. And Jesus says, just like in the days of Noah, it'll be that way in this last hour. Now, if we go just quickly to Genesis chapter 7 and we look at the event. You know, right now we understand that we don't know the day or the hour that Jesus will come. No man knows the day or the hour, not the angels, not even the Son. God alone has kept that to himself. However, just like Noah, and of course this would have to be the way, when that day comes, everybody's going to know it's that day. It was 7 days before the rain began to descend that God told Noah, in 7 days, it's going to happen. And he says here in Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, it says that in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month and the 17th day of the month, and that same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Now, that is a very specific time. He says in the 600th year, the 17th day of the month, the second month, the 17th day of the month, it means God had an exact day that he already knew that it would be on this day that my judgment will fall. And right now, God knows exactly when he's bringing the final judgment upon this world. He goes on to say that on this same day that the fountains of the great deep were broken up. It means the oceans that run under the tectonic plates. There's water all the way under the land masses. It began to ascend back up. And it goes on to say, and the windows of heaven were open, meaning the clouds in the sky, they all began to rain. And they continued to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Nobody could survive that. Now, if you remember earlier in Genesis, when he created the firmament, he divided the waters from the waters. meaning that he caused some of the waters to go down into the earth and other waters to be lifted up as clouds. There's an ocean hanging over our heads. He created that firmament. But on this day, he withdrew the firmament. He allowed the clouds to fall and the subterranean oceans to rise. And he let that continue to happen for 40 days. There's no way that you could escape that. And when God's judgment falls this way, this time, the scripture says, they shall not escape. Jesus will come like a thief in the night, like travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. God is saying, I'm going to make sure that they don't escape. Now, back in verse 38 of Matthew 24, it said, Jesus continues to explain the parallel between Noah's day and the last day. He says, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, again, here's the parallel. These people, it says they were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They weren't robbing and stealing. They were probably doing that. But that's not what he puts in this story. What they was doing were everyday affairs. It was things you and I do. We do that this day. We eat, we drink, we marry, we give in marriage. But the problem is Noah had been preaching judgment is coming for 120 years, and they had no fear. No reverence, and I doubt that very many of them even believed Noah. He was the wacko preacher that's building his big boat over here. God only knows what he's building. He's been working on it forever. And all men of God down through the ages have preached this book, and we've been ridiculed and we've been laughed at. But we're in the moment now that God is going to pour out his wrath upon this planet. And you and I should take heed to this and understand that don't let your everyday activity become more important than your walk with God. The scripture says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If God gave us this precious gift of eternal life and relationship with his son, and we let football and basketball and TV and video games and all the other things just fill our minds and hearts, and we find ourselves no relationship with God, no walk with God, how shall we escape? See, many times we just don't think about it. I just don't think about it, but that don't make it go away. That don't make it go away. Well, I just get high. That don't make it go away. You're just going to perish high. But it changes nothing about God's order and God's timing. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And here's the important word, until. Until. They had no concern about the things of God, no fear of God, no reverence for God at all until. In other words, they were in a slumber spirit and they didn't wake up until judgment woke them up. When judgment hit their life, that's what woke them up. And I'm afraid that the modern New Testament church, we're in the same situation. We're so engaged in our modern lives that we won't come out from amongst them and separate ourselves. I preached a good message a couple of weeks ago talking about how the angels had to come and get Lot by the hand to take him out of Sodom, and he lingered. And that's what we're doing now. We're lingering. If Jesus were to come at the beginning of the Super Bowl, I'm sure there'd be some of us say, well, will he still be taking folks at the end? Or does he mean right now? Because we're so entrenched in our modern lives. Think about this. When he comes, whatever degree you have, a master's, a doctor, it means nothing. When he comes, I don't care how much precious metal you have in your basement. It's just rocks. There's only one thing that will matter when he comes, and it's your righteousness that you've gotten from this book. That's the only thing that you will be taking with us. And yet we spend no time trying to apply ourselves to this book, trying to understand. I don't mean a crazy religious spirit. I mean an intellectual approach to God's word. What did you say and what does it mean? When he left, he only gave you his Holy Spirit and the word of God. And we neglect both of them. Have you read your Bible this week? This month is not my message, but I'm going to pick on you a little bit. When's the last time you read a chapter? When's the last time you opened commentaries and just dug into God's word with the idea, I want to come away with an understanding. I'm not just checking off the boxes. I read 3 verses. Check, check, check. No. Read those verses and then go study them. Study them until you understand what they're saying to you and don't make it up. So they were marrying, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And all of a sudden, they were forcefully awakened by the judgment that hit their lives. In a spiritual slumber, until they noticed the mattress was getting wet. The floodwaters were rising. People were screaming. They're watching people around them die. They're looking for higher ground. And they run to higher ground. They found a mountainside. They found a hill. But the water would just keep rising. And the scripture says, they shall not escape. Saints, this is what's getting ready to happen. Now, God has for 2,000 years, Noah preached 120 years. This Bible now, the New Testament, has been preached for right at 2,000 years. That Jesus is coming. And we somehow are unable to fit these truths into our lives. And the reason is that this truth don't fit into your life. This truth rips your life and puts it aside, and it puts the life of Jesus Christ in its place. Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 says this, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, this phrase, the day of the Lord, it never is in reference to the rapture of the church. The day of the Lord is the wrath of God. That's Jesus' second advent, that he comes to execute judgment. The day of the Lord cometh, fierce and cruel, to destroy the sinner out of the land. You yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. What does he mean by that? When the thief comes to your house to rob it, he comes to and times it so you don't know he's there until he's gone. If the thief broadcasts, hey, I'm going to rob your house tomorrow at 5 o'clock, you'd be set tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And so Jesus says he comes as a thief in the night because he comes when the world is not expecting him. As a matter of fact, it goes on to say, because when they say peace and safety, then, that's when sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. God used his omnipotent power in the days of the flood of Noah to make sure that one person was able to escape other than those who he ordained who were in the ark. And again, he will take his omnipotent power to make sure no one escapes except them that are in the ark, the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else will survive it. Sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. I'm sure all of the sisters will understand this if you're a mother. The brothers, just logic it out. When travail starts, it don't stop until it's complete. When that moment comes, And the woman is about to give birth. She can't just say, oh, wait a minute, I got an appointment. Can we push this off till next week? I'm sorry, honey. Travail don't stop until it's complete. And he's saying that this judgment comes, it will not stop until it has completed its course. Oh, saints, if there's ever been a time to get serious about Jesus Christ, this is the hour. This is the time. I spoke with someone earlier. They were asking some things about their walk with Christ. And I was telling them, well, the problem is, I said it as nicely as I can, you're half-stepping. God don't want you just religious dainties. He wants you to give your whole life to him. He wants it all from you. Because he will take your broken life with your broken personality and he'll make it into a fine vessel as full of Jesus Christ. But you have to give it to him. He won't just take it from you. You have to hunger in your heart and say, God, I want your will for my life. Now, I'll tell you now, when he takes your life, he's going to take your life. I was getting ready to get married when I got saved. I'd already told this woman's mom I was going to marry her. And in my heart, I was going to. And I got saved, and God said, you will not marry her. When he comes in, he don't just come in as Savior. He comes in as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He don't come in to negotiate with you. This is my will. And then here's what he said. My will for your life is you're not marrying her. I want you to remarry your ex-wife who you divorced 6 or 7 years ago. Now, that's madness, isn't it? So when he comes in, he takes your whole life and he rearranges it for what will truly make you happy. How many's ever tried to find happiness and just found sour? You're searching, you're trying to make yourself happy, you're trying to find what you think will make you happy, and you're searching and you're searching. And when you finally lay hands on it, it's a vapor, it's smoke, it was nothing. Yeah. Or it turns into rotten eggs. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now back to the book of Matthew 24, verse 39. Well, let me read into it. They were married and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them away. They didn't realize that the judgment that Noah had been preaching for 120 years, the reality of it, until the flood was upon them. Saints, you and I have an opportunity to know what is coming and to align our lives and our hearts with Jesus Christ. And understand something. This is not about stop drinking, stop smoking, stop sexing. That's not what we're talking about here. You will stop that stuff. This is about opening your whole heart and letting Jesus Christ come in it and take control of your entire life. Let him dictate what you like and what you don't like, what you want to eat and what you don't want to eat, how long you sleep, when you pray, when you study. He will take control. Now, he's not like the devil. The devil will just twist your arm and make you do it. Jesus is not like that. He will work with you by his Holy Spirit. He will apply his conviction over and over. Tierra just preached it this morning. He'll apply his conviction little by little, and he'll graduate you from one step to the next step to the next step. But the problem is, saints, we don't know how high the stairs are that he wants to take us to. We don't understand how high it is that he wants to take us to. I look at my life now, I would have never conceived that I could be in this place. And the stairs are still way up there. I'm a middleweight. But to be in this place, I could have never conceived. And yet still there's that conviction of the Spirit pulling me higher, pulling me higher. If you don't yield to it, he will not force it. If you want to spend your life a spiritual midget that thinks you're a giant, he'll let you do that. If you love deception, he'll let you deceive yourself. But if you realize I don't have it the way I need to have it, then God will help you and grow you to that place. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Most of modern society will continue to slumber and to sleep until judgment extracts them from this planet and pulls them out into eternity to meet their Creator, who they rejected all of their lives. And even you and I, I trust that you're saved. We're saved. But at some point, you're going to step across that threshold into eternity. And you need to take a good look at the men in the Old Testament that came face to face with God. Ezekiel, I believe it was, he was on his hands and his knees. There was no strength left in him. He couldn't even stand up. Isaiah said, "Woe unto me, I am undone. All of our pride and our arrogance and our pomp will be laid low." And why don't we just start allowing the Holy Spirit to work on us now? This is going to be a little bit hard, what I'm going to say. And I'm not scolding you this morning, but I've got an unction. What is it that keeps you from studying your Bible? Because that thing that's stopping you, it's going to be no more. What is it that stops you from putting together a real prayer life? I know our lives are busy, right? That's exactly the problem in Noah's day. They were busy eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and doing all of the things that a society does. And God allowed them to continue to do that until he took over. You know what Jesus said in Revelation? "He that is holy, let him be holy still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still." And then he said, "Behold, I come quickly." In other words, once he starts his ascent to this planet, it happens so fast that you won't even be able to react. Now, he told Noah in 7 days, the flood's going to start. That was 7 days. But for you and I, he told us specifically, not 7 days. He said, "I come quickly." That doesn't mean I come soon. It means that when I begin my approach, just like that, it happens. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye. "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left." This means that this judgment will separate families. It will separate lovers. It will separate you. You will stand alone before God. You can be in the very vicinity of somebody that is godly saved, but that don't help you none. You're going to have your own relationship. Verse 42 says, "Watch therefore," because of all that has been said, that Jesus said, therefore, because of that, watch. It means wake up, be vigilant. It means stay awoke, keep your spiritual awareness awoke, because you know not the hour that the Lord doth come. None of us in here know when he's coming. But he goes on to give us this instruction, but know this. You don't know the hour that he's coming here, but you can know this. That if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. Now the goodman of the house is the Christian. The thief, again, representative of Jesus Christ, because he comes as a thief in the night. And so he's saying that if the Christian had known in what watch that Jesus would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his whole house to be broken up. So the takeaway from this is we don't know the hour that he's coming, so we have to live every hour of our lives in preparation. That's the only way you can know. You can't wait and say, "Well, when I see things getting bad enough, then I'm going to get serious." Listen, God is not an algorithm. God's a personality. And you can play games if you want to. But God don't play games. It's two folks you don't play with in this universe. You don't play with God and you don't play with the devil. Them two don't play, they don't play fair. And so this is the hour that we need to get all of Jesus that we can possibly get. Lay aside some of your recreation. Lay aside some of your entertainment. Some of the foolish things. How long do you claim to have been a Christian compared to how little you know about the scripture? I'm going to just let that sit there for a minute. I mean, how many years have you been saved, and to what degree do you know the scripture? Because the difference in those two is the lack of application, applying yourself, studying the scripture to show yourself approved unto God. Listen, you can't YouTube your way through this. No. That don't work. He didn't leave you YouTube. He left you a book. And he expects you and I to read it. In fact, Paul in the epistles, and again, this is classical Pauline theology, over and over again, he would say, what? Don't you know? What? Know ye not? There's an expectation that we've studied this and that we know some things. The modern Christian thinks that, oh, when it's all in, I'm going to run. I just want to give Jesus a big old kiss and a hug. He's been so good. You don't know what you're talking about. He is a thrice holy God. If you find yourself in his presence, your face is going to be right down in the carpet. He would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, because of that, based on what I just said, be ye also ready. For in such an hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes. Saints, your whole life as a Christian, from the moment you got saved until this very moment, until the moment he gets here, is to prepare yourself to meet the King. That your whole life, that is the priority in your life, is you're going to meet the King. Now, when I say the King, that's a baby word. That word does not describe. You're going to meet the Ancient of Days, the one who spoke the universe and it stood fast, the one who upholds all things simply by the word of his power. You're going to meet him. Be ye ready. Be ye ready. For in such an hour that you think not, he comes. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the bluntness of how you've told us that these things will transpire. Oh God, we ask you for your holy conviction upon every life within this place, upon every heart. God, many of us are just simply not ready to meet you. Many of us are simply not ready to step out into eternity. As the Spirit of God is moving in this place right now, I want to ask the question, is it well with your soul today? You may not be saved. You may have never given your life to Jesus Christ. Or you may be saved, but you don't have the intimacy with him that you need to have. I want to pray with you today. If you're in that spot, I just need to get closer to Jesus. I need to give my whole heart and life to him. I want you to just raise your hand this morning and let me pray with you. God loves you. God loves you. Each and every one. God is not angry at you. He loves you. I want to just take a moment. Will there be another? I need to get right with God. It's not well with my soul this morning. I need to get closer to the King. I need to get ready to meet him. How about you, sir? Will you come? How about you, ma'am? God loves you. He's not angry at you. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. Listen, if you've raised your hand, I want you to just slip out of your seat. Meet me here at the altar, and I'm going to pray with you. God's not angry with you. He's not angry. He loves you. Come on, will you come? He loves you. He's not angry. He wants to do something in your heart. Don't resist him. Don't resist him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Lincoln, would you help me, please? Handolo boko brastala boko randariasta. Iloro soro boko. God, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, my brothers, God, I ask you that you'd move upon their lives. Pull on their hearts, tug on their hearts, oh God, to bring them closer to the place that there's no fear of tomorrow, no fear of meeting you. God, pull them closer. God, my brother, right now, oh God, you're doing a work in his life. Touch him. Fill him with the Holy Ghost, God. Fill him with the power from on high. Move in a way in his life that's undeniable, that he will know and understand that the living God has dealt with them. God, in Jesus' name, we come to you today. Help them to throw aside every weight, every sin, everything that hinders, oh God, that they might run the race. God, that they might reach forth for the prize. God, in Jesus' name, touch them right now, my sister, Lord. My brother, right now, in Jesus' name, touch these lives. Tug on their hearts, Lord. God, then make them uncomfortable in complacency that they might pursue you with a whole heart, with their whole mind, with all that in them is. Father, I ask you right now, baptize them in the Holy Ghost. Baptize, oh God, in the Holy Ghost. Fill them with the power from on high that they might approach you, oh my King. Touch these lives, God. Touch these lives. Father, we call upon you. We believe in you today that you would move mightily within these hearts. Tug them. Bring them closer to you, Jesus. Bring them closer to you. God, my brother and my sister, Lord. God, I ask you in Jesus' name, tug on these hearts. Help them in every way, Lord. God, to not resist the pull of the Holy Ghost, to welcome the conviction to come out from amongst them, to separate themselves, to come deeper into your presence, deeper into a relationship with you. No longer in the kiddie pool, God, help them to launch out into the deep, to lay hold upon all that you have prepared and all that you have for them. Hindele boko rashandriaste. Lord, my sister right now, my brother, God, Lord Jesus, move by your spirit. Move by your spirit in these lives. Draw them nigh. By your conviction, Lord, by your presence, let them know today that you have spoken directly to their hearts. And God, give them the unction, give them the strength, the spiritual strength to pursue you with all of their heart and all of their mind. God, to give you time. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you today. Lord, I ask you to put a blessing in Jeremy's heart right now. God, he came searching for something today. He came in search of the living God. Lord, bear witness in his spirit. Let your power touch his life. Pull him closer to you, Lord. And help him, Lord, to lay aside personal rebellions that he might approach you in spirit and in truth. Father, bless my sister. Help her, God, in every way to come closer to you. To lay aside, Lord, those things that hinder, that cause us to neglect the walk. To give herself, to give himself wholly unto you. God, right now, my brother, my sister, break every yoke, Lord. God, break every yoke. Draw them closer to you, Father. I ask you for supernatural Holy Ghost conviction upon their lives, that you would make them uncomfortable where they are now, that you would nudge them, oh God, to come closer to you, not to lay in the shadows, not to be on the outer peripheral, but to come boldly to the throne of grace. God, in Jesus' name, let your conviction be upon their heart. When they leave here today, oh God, Help them not to go running to do the next busy thing they have in their life, but God, help them to find time that you might be the priority in all things. God, right now, my sister, my brother, God, move by your Holy Spirit. Move by your power in these lives. Draw them closer to you, Lord. Draw them closer to you. Let your conviction live upon their hearts. God, to teach them to lay aside what they want to do and what their preferences are, and to seek for the preference of the Lord, the will of the Lord be done in their lives. God, let conviction rule and reign in their hearts. Make them uncomfortable in their complacency. God, that they might pursue you with all of their hearts and all of their mind and all of their strength. Father, in Jesus' name we pray it today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just give the Lord a hand clap today, won't you? He is a good God. He is a good God. Amen. So as you go, as you leave here today, just remember the words that you've heard and be asking God, Lord, draw me closer. Draw me closer. Sister Lincoln, would you please come and close?
You know, it's so important for us to have that closeness with the Lord. Because if we're not drawing closer to Him, then we're drawing closer to the world. If we're not drawing closer to Him, we have nothing to help us, to keep us from drawing closer to the world. And before we go, just want to remind you, if you had not had an opportunity to give, we ask that you please continue to support this ministry. We appreciate all of you in our online audience that continue to support this ministry. Those of you that are in the four walls, it's all because of your giving that allows us to be able to take this word out to the world. And when I say to the world, I'm not just talking about the Metroplex. I'm talking about the world globally. So we do appreciate all of your efforts and your support and giving. July 30th is a laity. So we will not be having a Bible class on this Wednesday, but we ask that you come out and support our laity speakers as they exercise their calling that God has laid upon their life. Also, on August the 3rd, we are having our Bring Your People to Church Sunday. There's some invite cards out on the wall in the lobby, and just, you know, only take the ones that you know you're going to give out. But invite somebody to come out and be in the service with you on August the 3rd. It'll be both services. And just encourage someone. Come join me. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand to our feet and we'll be dismissed. What I say unto one, I say unto all, watch, pray, seek a closer relationship with Jesus every day. Amen. Shake a hand, hug a neck, and just let somebody know you appreciate them coming out today. Amen. Praise God. You're dismissed.